Supreme Court of the State of Nevada is now in session. The Honorable Justice Givens presiding.
Okay, good morning, everyone, and I'll take my mask in just for a second so you can hear me. But welcome to the Southern Panel Arguments here. Our first case today is case number 77591, SVRE versus Queenswich Realty. We have Mr. Van, Mr. Chase for the appellant, and Mr. Schmidt for the respondent. And counsel for the appellant, do you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, please, Your Honor. We'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay, fine. You'll see the clock. I think we'll have a video screen on the clock. Brian, do we have that?
Yeah, we can see
okay,
it.
Okay, see, you can see it. I want to make sure. Oh, there it is. The attorneys can see it. So you'll hear a little beep at 3 minutes, so be sure and stop or ask to reserve at that time, or we'll keep going. So be sure and do that. So thank you very much on that. And so we'll go ahead. Mr. Chase or Mr. Van, you can go ahead. You both can proceed then.
Well, Your Honor, before we start, one quick second. As fate would have it in my life, apparently they decided to do construction right above my office this morning. I've sent somebody upstairs to ask them to please stop for 30 minutes. So if you hear some pounding in the background, I apologize. It started like 3 minutes ago.
Well, we totally understand, you know, like that. We're going to be very patient with everybody here. We thank you for participating by video on that. So,
all right, I apologize.
Okay, so Mr. Chase, you want to proceed?
I do. Thank you. Good morning, Associate Chief Justice, Madam Justices, and may it please the Court. My name is Garrett Chase, and along with Michael Van, we represent the appellant SVRE LLC in this appeal. Now, while there are a few discrete issues before this court this morning, those issues all stem from one primary question, which is whether the lower court exceeded the scope of its review of the subject arbitration award. Your Honors, appellant respectfully requests that this court reverse the lower court's decision for the following four reasons. First, the order entered by the lower court demonstrates that that court either employed the wrong standard of review or exceeded the scope of its review of the subject arbitration decision. Second, the arbitration panel's decision is actually consistent with Nevada law and therefore could not have been a manifest disregard of that law, as the lower court found. Third, the lower court improperly concluded that respondent had met its heightened evidentiary burden despite the fact that the record was void of any evidence of what this court has defined as a manifest disregard of law. And fourth and finally, relevant considerations about this arbitration program and Nevada's general policy towards arbitration programs warrant reversing the district court's decision.
Okay. Mr. Chase, can I ask you a question on that? I tell you, one of the reasons the panel wanted to argue this case, and you see Justice Stiglitz is in Carson City, but she's up there. She may have some questions as well for it. But we're concerned about the standard of review for arbitration with the Greater Las Vegas Board of Realtors. We assume when you join the Board of Realtors, you sign an agreement to arbitrate commission disputes and all like that's part of the membership. As I recall from many years ago, and you can correct me, and Mr. Schmidt can correct me if I'm wrong, but in the arbitration provision, is it the same standard they use as we do in the court for the court standard for arbitration reviews in Chapter 38, or is it a different standard? We were unsure about that, trying to look at the record and figure that out.
So just to clarify, are you talking about the arbitration appellate panel standard of review or the lower court, the district court?
No, the appellate panel standard of review. What standard do they use? We have Chapter 38. We have, and our case law is, you know, pretty clear on it. So my question, at least my concern, I don't want to speak for my colleagues, but was when you agree to arbitrate as a member of the Board of Realtors, what arbitration standard do they use pursuant to that agreement with the Board of Realtors?
So with regards to the standard that they use as the arbitration panel itself, I believe that is set out in the arbitration manual and the GLVAR manual. And if there's still specific questions about what that exact standard is, I'm happy to provide a supplement, because right offhand I don't know the exact language of the standard they use. But essentially, the process is when there's a dispute like this, as you said, the members, the realtor members of GLVAR or of NVR, have mutually agreed to participate in an arbitration process that begins first with an arbitration panel hearing that decides the, you know, the dispute on the merits as presented at that hearing. From there, as respondent did in this case, the parties have an opportunity to petition for a procedural review by an arbitration panel. At that point, the arbitration panel impanels a separate group of essentially arbitrators to review the hearing, the evidence that was presented, the documents in the record, and then either affirm or vacate. And then and that concludes that portion of the arbitration program. At that point, the parties have an opportunity to submit a petition for judicial review, as they did in this case, and then it goes on to the district court.
Okay.
And like I said, I apologize for not having the specific language of the standard.
Well, that's okay. You know, a lot of times, you know, you don't know the record by heart. We don't expect either counsel to do that. But it was that record of the standard presented to Judge Alf in the judicial review proceedings, you know, before she made her decision?
So I know that portions of the GLVAR handbook were presented to Judge Alf in terms of what the arbitration manual states is the proper review of, in general, of the arbitration process and also of specifically procuring cause, which was a dispute in this case. Yeah. And again, I'm happy to take a look back and verify that specific page of the manual was produced.
Okay, thank you. And go ahead. I'm sorry for the interruption. Go ahead with the rest of your argument then.
No, not at all. So turning back to my first point, the decision utilized by the district court at the hearing, in the minute order, and then in the final order that was entered demonstrate that the district court utilized or the wrong standard of review or exceeded the scope of that review as this court has defined it. If we turn to this court's decisions in Bowman versus Prince and in Health Plan of Nevada, which are both decisions from 2004, the court articulated both the standard of review of a judicial review of an arbitration decision and also the manifest disregard of law standard for vacating one of those decisions. And specifically, this court stated that inquiry is extremely limited and that a reviewing court should, quote, not concern itself with the correctness of an arbitration award and thus should not review the merits of the dispute. And that was from Bowman versus Prince. Later that year in the Health Plan of Nevada case, this court reiterated those standards and specifically said that even if the arbitrator made an error of fact or misapplied the law on the issue, it would still not amount to a manifest disregard of law because a manifest disregard of the law goes beyond whether the law was correctly interpreted. It encompasses a, quote, conscious disregard of applicable law. In turning to this case and the facts and the record of this case, we see that looking at pages 296 and 297 of the record, the district court's decision was that, quote, the arbitrators disregarded or misapplied the law with regard to Nevada law on procuring cause. That language was then incorporated in the minute order and the final order entered by the court, and it specifically contradicts what this court has said the standard for manifest disregard of law is in Bowman and Health Plan of Nevada. If we look at that final order that was entered by the court on pages 306 through 316 of the record, we see that what the trial court did was more akin to a de novo review of the merits of the case, which this court has specifically said is not the proper review. And again, turning back to Bowman and to Health Plan of Nevada, disregard implies that the arbitrator appreciates the existence of a clearly governing legal principle but decides to ignore or pay no attention to it. Here, the lower court reviewed the record of the arbitration panel's decision and then issued 6 pages of its own specific findings of fact as to the merits of the dispute and then 4 pages of conclusions of law as to those merits. And importantly, if we turn to page 316 of the record, we see that the lower court crossed out a conclusion of law that says, in other words, the association's disregard was conscious, willing, and/or intentional. That, in and of itself, demonstrates that the lower court was either using the wrong standard or exceeded the scope of its review, because that willing, conscious, intentional disregard is what this court has defined as manifest disregard of the law. If we turn to the arbitration panel's decision and a review of what was presented to the arbitration panel, we again see that conclusion that appellant's broker was entitled to the commission is consistent with principles of Nevada law. Now, we're not advocating that this court go back and review all the merits of that decision or necessarily look at all the specific evidence that was presented. However, it's worth noting that the record demonstrates there was sufficient evidence to support that conclusion of the arbitration panel, which was then affirmed by the appellate arbitration panel. And the lower court even acknowledged this in the order that was issued during the hearing when Judge Elf said, I believe they considered all of the evidence, but unfortunately I do find that they disregarded or misapplied the law in this case with regard to Nevada law on procuring cause. And that's at page 296 of the record. So again, the evidence was presented to support the conclusion, and what the lower court did was said, we disagree, and supplanted those findings with its own. Based on the explicit direction from this court in Bowman and Health Plan of Nevada, that is not the standard of review. Again, turning back to quote those sections of Bowman and Health Plan of Nevada, manifest disregard goes beyond whether the law was incorrectly interpreted. Disregard implies that the arbitrator appreciates the existence of a clearly governing legal principle but decides to ignore it. In other words, the issue is not whether the arbitrator correctly interpreted the law, but whether the arbitrator, knowing the law and recognizing that the law required a particular result, simply disregarded it. And those quotes are all from this court's decision in Bowman v. Prince. And that really underscores the issues with the lower court's decision, in that the judge acknowledged that she did not find a specific intentional conscious disregard for the law, but rather that it was a misapplication of the law. And on that basis, that exceeds or applies the wrong standard of review for that decision. The next error that was committed by the lower court in applying that standard of review has to do with the evidentiary burden. So again, looking at Health Plan of Nevada, this court has made perfectly clear that in order to warrant vacating an arbitration panel decision, the challenging party has to provide clear and convincing evidence of a manifest disregard of law. That couldn't have been the case here because no evidence was present in the record or identified by the lower court or even identified by respondent in their answering brief that would indicate there was any conscious disregard for law or any intentional manifest disregard of law. Without that, the standards set forth in Bowman versus Prince and Health Plan of Nevada mandate that this court reverse that decision because, again, there's no evidence to support that there was a manifest disregard of law. And so, in and of itself, that application warrants reversal. But the fact that the court then claims that it found clear and convincing evidence without actually identifying any evidence, again, warrants reversal and dismissal, or reversal and vacating of that decision. And that brings me to our final argument, which is that Nevada's general policy of deference towards arbitration decisions also warrants reversal of that decision. As I previously mentioned, this case is a textbook example of the NVR-GLVAR decision, arbitration program, working the way that it's intended to work, right? These realtors have a dispute concerning a commission, they file a request for arbitration, which they both pay for as part of their dues, and have contractually agreed to be bound by. At that point, it's submitted to an arbitration panel of professionals in this area who have been deemed competent to make these types of determinations by their peers and submitted to an arbitration hearing. And the record demonstrates that in this case, that arbitration panel held a lengthy hearing and allowed the parties to present significant evidence in support of their positions and testimony in support of those positions, and then issued a decision, which was then affirmed subsequently by the appellate panel of the NVR. And so to, at this point, allow the lower court to disregard all of those findings, to jump in, supplant them with their own, in violation of the standard, is not what this court has articulated is the standard of review, and it would be inconsistent with other decisions from this court concerning deference to those types of arbitration programs. And therefore, and for the foregoing reasons, Your Honors, appellant respectfully requests that this court reverse or vacate the lower court's decision vacating the arbitration award. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chase. Mr. Schmidt?
Thank you, Your Honors, and may it please the court. In Judge Alf's court, in the briefing before this court, and here today, I've read and heard a lot about how much deference we give arbitrators and how difficult it is to vacate an arbitration award. What we haven't heard much about is why this arbitration award should be upheld. Upheld despite the undisputed facts establishing without a doubt that Queens Ridge, not simply Vegas, was the procuring cause of the sale. Upheld despite the undisputed facts establishing without a doubt that the buyer fired Simply Vegas before they even wrote an offer. And before the buyer and Simply Vegas even agreed on a price for an offer. and upheld despite the transcript of the arbitration hearing, making it clear how we got here, with the knowing, conscious disregard of the GLVER's own standards and Nevada law, with the GLVER's refusal to consider relevant material evidence, and with the GLVER's award ultimately lacking any evidentiary support. And why haven't we heard any real justification for awarding Simply Vegas the full commission on these facts? There isn't any. The law requires meaningful judicial review of arbitration awards and requires arbitration awards be vacated where there's a manifest disregard of the law, a lack of support and evidence, or a refusal to consider relevant evidence. All three of these standards are met by the undisputed facts in this case. In other words, this is the perfect case for vacating an arbitration award. And Judge Al's order must be affirmed if there is to be any meaningful review of arbitration awards in Nevada. So where did the GLVER simply...
Mr. Schmidt, if I could ask you if you could tell us what the standard of review is. Now we're reviewing Judge Alf's decision. I understand you said you disregarded the law on the commission, but my read of Rainbow Medical versus Health Plan in Nevada, you know, is similar to what Mr. Chase argued. So if you don't think that case applies, please let me know why.
Sure, and of course it's something less than a de novo review, which this court is conducting on Judge Alp's order. And there is some deference to an arbitrator's findings, but it's not total deference, and there has to still be a meaningful review of what happened in the arbitration proceeding. And arbitration awards are vacated all the time. It may be difficult, but this is the perfect case for vacating the arbitration award, and that's why it should be upheld. Now, Simply Vegas would have reviewing courts be overly deferential to private arbitrators. The clearest example is Simply Vegas and Amicus Nevada Realtors' request for Chevron deference to the GLVER. Under the Chevron case, courts give, quote, great deference to governmental agencies tasked by the legislature with administering regulatory statutes. But the GLVER is not a government agency administering a statute. It's a private trade association of Las Vegas realtors who have agreed with each other to resolve commission disputes by arbitration under NRS Chapter 38 and the GLVER manual. And to answer Your Honor's question about what the manual or what the GLVER says about review, it is set forth in Section 53 of the manual, which is not in the record. It wasn't in the excerpts of the manual that I attached, that we attached to our motion to vacate the arbitration award. But judicial review is referenced a couple times by the GLVER in the record that we have today. In the appellant's appendix, page 191, that's the arbitration award itself, which states, the award will be paid from the escrow unless the non-prevailing party advises the association in writing within 15 days that a suit challenging the validity of the award has been filed.
I'm sorry, did you say section 53, and was that manual? You said it wasn't in the appendix, but it was in your opposition, or I'm sorry, your was attached to your motion in district court?
Yeah, thank you, Your Honor. To be clear, in our motion in the district court, Exhibit 5 to our motion included excerpts from the GLVER manual regarding procuring cause and estrangement and other relevant at the time excerpts from the manual. It did not, that excerpt did not include Section 53, which I believe just says similar to what I'm getting to with what the parts of the record that does include reference to judicial review. Basically, it doesn't set forth a standard, in, to my knowledge. It just says, hey, here's the award, but it's not final because the non-prevailing party may file a lawsuit to challenge the validity of the award,
okay.
Which is what we did by filing the motion to vacate.
Okay, well, that's what I wanted to know. I mean, so Mr. Schmidt, your argument is that Chapter 38 standard applies as set forth in the NRS, and that Judge Alf properly applied Chapter 38 in her decision. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Your Honor. And Judge Alf properly did not give great deference under Chevron to the arbitration award. Again, the Nevada Real Estate Division is the government agency that administers Nevada's regulation of real estate brokers. The Real Estate Division, not the GRVAR, would be entitled to great deference under Chevron. So what deference is required? Well, we defer to an arbitrator's factual findings under Clark County Education Association. That's not applicable here because the GRVAR made no factual findings. I already referenced the page 191 of the records of the appendix. That is the one-page arbitration award by the GLVAR. There's no reasoning. There's no justification. There's no factual findings. So there's nothing for the district court for Judge Alf to defer to.
But isn't it true, though, neither Nevada law nor GLVAR guidelines require specific findings or a written basis for an arbitration award?
That is true. And, Your Honor, I am not here saying that by virtue of the lack of findings or the lack of support for the award, that automatically entitles, that breaks a requirement or entitles us to vacate the award. That's not the argument. Rather, there's nothing to defer to as far as factual findings. They aren't required to put it in there. If they had, that would certainly support the award better, because that would be something concrete, some set of facts that Judge Alf would have had to defer to under our law, under Clark County Education Association. But there's nothing to defer to, just the conclusion. Obviously, we can't defer simply to a conclusion of an arbitration panel, because then there would be no judicial review. We cannot defer to a manifest disregard of law. We can't defer to an award that is given without substantial support in the evidence. Those are the common law factors for vacating an award. So in those instances, there's no deference. We also defer to any, quote, colorable justification for the award under Health Plan of Nevada. But again, the GLVAR offers no justification, and under our facts, there is no colorable justification, and I'll get to those in a second. On the other hand, like I said, we don't give any deference to a decision with no evidentiary support. That decision must be vacated as arbitrary and capricious, and we don't give any deference to an arbitrator's contradiction of the contract or hear the GLVAR's manual under International Association of Firefighters and Washoe County School District.
So basically, though, I mean, looking at both the appeal and the first finding, I mean, they don't have much on either one. So if we follow your logical conclusion, then everything, we give no deference at all, and you go into de novo review in district court based on that. Is that kind of what you're saying? I mean, I'm trying to follow the fact that there's no findings. I get that. There was no requirement. And then when I look at it, it doesn't have much, clearly. But then is it, what you're saying, if you logically follow that, then every single decision out of there would be a de novo review by the district court because there's nothing to really give any deference to.
And I could see how you could get there, Your Honor, but...
What, is that what you're saying?
No, that's not my argument
okay.
at all.
Sorry.
But no, I appreciate the opportunity to clarify. The reviewing court would still defer to any colorable justification, even if it's not offered in the award. In other words, the court will basically look at the record and try to find a way to justify the award, because we don't want to second guess arbitrators. We don't want to make the courts do a de novo review. We want to give some level of deference to the arbitrators. But that's my point in this case is there is no colorable justification. It's not that they didn't, that the GLVAR didn't offer one. There simply is no colorable justification in the record at all based on Nevada law and based on the GLVAR standards.
Okay.
Now, Simple Vega cites Bowman for the proposition that Judge Alf should not have reviewed the merits of the dispute. And that kind of gets to what we're talking about as well. Yet, even in Bowman itself, the court reviewed the merits and discussed whether a spoliation presumption would have been appropriate in the arbitration. And while the Bowman court affirmed the district court's confirmation of that award, it did so based on the arbitrator's stated justifications for its award, justifications and reasoning stated in the award itself. Judge Alf did not have the benefit of taking into account any justification or reasoning offered because there isn't one offered by the GLVAR. At the hearing in front of Judge Alf, Simply Vegas went so far as to state, I hope you didn't read it all, the arbitration transcript, because it's a long transcript. And that's in page 287 of our appendix. That sums up their position. The court shouldn't look at anything. It's just a rubber stamp. Contrary to Cindy Vegas' argument under Casey versus Wells Fargo and Gravery Comstock, Judge Alf had the obligation to review the record to determine if the award is supported by the evidence and whether there is a conscious disregard of the law.
Okay. Anything else?
Yes, Your Honor. In its reply, Simply Vegas felt forced to admit that Judge Alf was correct to review the record. Yet Simply Vegas maintains its argument that Judge Alf should not have made her own factual findings. And they maintain that argument today. Apparently, Judge Alf should have reviewed the record, but when she sees the GLVAR's glaring mistakes, conscious disregard, and invented duties that they imposed on the second realtor here at Queensridge, Judge Alf should just ignore those errors and defers the arbitrator's unsupported award and concludes a re-award. That would make Judge Alf and this court the active agent of a substantial injustice under Gravely versus Comstock. And it would get rid of judicial review of arbitral awards in general. So I understand the Simply Vegas' and this court's concern that reviewing an award with no findings, no justification, could turn into a de novo review. The corollary is also true. If all you have to do as an arbitrator is make a conclusory unsupported award with no justification, and that forecloses any review because the reviewing court has to defer to it, that gets rid of judicial review of arbitration awards generally. And that's not Chapter 38, that's not Nevada law. It's an important, necessary role that the courts have in reviewing awards. It's not a de novo review. It's looking for a manifest disregard. It's looking for some support in the record based on evidence. It's looking for any colorable justification. All of those are absent here, not just because it's not in the award itself, but it's not in anywhere in the record. And, in fact, the transcript shows over and over, as detailed in our brief, over and over where the GLVAR refused to hear evidence about the post-contract activities of what Queensridge did. Simply Vegas showed the house and sent some comps. The buyer did not like them, did not trust the agent, wanted to go somewhere else, didn't have any exclusive brokerage agreement, hired Queensridge. Queensridge confirmed that there's no exclusive agreement. In that case, under the GLVAR's own standards, Queensridge was allowed to take over. They did. Made the offer, got a contract, coordinated inspection, everything else that led to the closing. That's the procuring cause, and they had to disregard their standards to conclude otherwise. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. Mr. Chase, you have just, I think, right about 3 minutes. I have one question, though.
Yes.
Mr. Schmidt's arguing, since the award is sketchy, it just makes an award. There's really no analysis or findings or explanation or whatever. How can the court meaningfully review it without having some sort of reasoning by the arbitrator? Does that is that a problem, you know, like that for the judge? Was she in an impossible position to analyze this case just because of the award was the only thing in front of her?
I don't think she was, Your Honor, and here's why. If we look at what her findings were initially and then in the order, she acknowledges, and she says, and this is page 296 of the record, I believe they considered all of the evidence. And so it's not that we're left with a one-page conclusory statement and no other record, right? We have a transcript from a six-hour arbitration hearing. And to just quickly address a related topic that Mr. Schmidt argued, it's not that we're advocating for a rubber stamp approach to these types of arbitration awards, and it's not that the reviewing district court can't look at the merits or can't look at the record at all. That review is very limited, though, and that's what this court has said. And so it's not that in enforcing the standard that this court has set will create a situation where no arbitration award, regardless of how conclusory it is, can ever be vacated. As an example of that, we can look at this court's decision in Wachinski versus Mosa, where the court reiterated this manifest disregard of law standard and had an award that awarded punitive damages based on fraud, but went back and looked at that record and said, there's no evidence that would support a claim of fraud, and therefore we can't get to punitive damages. So the lower court absolutely can look to what the record says and what was presented, and that's what it did in this case. Judge Alf acknowledges that she did that review and then says, but I think that they misapplied the law, and that's the misstep. Going back to this court's decision in Health Plan of Nevada, quote, even if the arbitrator made an error of fact or misapplied the law on this issue, it still would not amount to a manifest disregard of law. Mr. Schmidt brings up the merits of this dispute and wants to revisit those, and that's not what this court's review is for, and that's not what the lower court's review is for. Again, the focus, based on this court's decisions, is on the process itself. So the court looks to whether or not there's any sort of misconduct or intentional conduct that would render the arbitration process unfair. And that can be seen not only in the manifest disregard of law standard, but within the context of the other statutory and common law grounds for vacating an arbitration award. And it's even seen in the arbitration panels standard where they review for any due process concerns. Again, the issue is not that they got it wrong. The issue and where it would be appropriate for the lower court to reverse that decision is if they got it wrong because of intentional conduct, and it's not present anywhere within the record. Respondent's counsel also brings up that, there's this Chevron deference issue, and to clarify, the reason we cited included Chevron and included a variety of other cases is not that they say that there is great deference, but that we're underscoring an overarching policy of deference to these types of institutions and decisions.
Mr. Chase. Justice Silver, Justice Stiglitz, do you have any questions for either counsel before we adjourn?
No, Chief.
Okay, thank you both. Okay, then thank you for your excellent briefs and arguments. You've done a good job for both your clients. We appreciate that very much, and we will take this under submission, take a look at the record, and then we'll get a decision out. And we'll be in recess, and we'll stand at ease till we set up electronically for our next oral argument. Thank you both.
Thank you, Your Honor.